Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you. The fan line open 1-877-332-8255. Would love to get your thoughts on week one. A victory 17-13, the final at Edmonton. Paul's in Yorkton tonight. Paul, what are you thinking of the Rough Riders' debut of the season?
Well, we won. That's the important thing. Defense was absolutely amazing. You know, Shivers has got them going, you know, mid-season form already. But it kind of reminded me, that 102-yard touchdown pass reminded me of the 85 Labor Day game when Jeff Boyd cut 105-yard, the same side of the field. Daryl might remember that one.
Jeff Boyd was, yeah. He was outstanding, right?
Unbelievable.
The way Lewis ripped the ball away from, was it
Henderson? Clark, Jeremy Clark.
Right? It was fantastic. Cool. As a football fan, I got to love that.
Yep, nice play.
But this is why you don't limit your starting quarterback to one series in preseason. Yes, he has to take time off for the birth of his child. That's fantastic. You have to give him at least a quarter, quarter and a half. And that interception on the 21-yard line was absolutely ridiculous. Like, it's going to take Harris a few weeks to get regular season game ready, and he's in a new offense.
Boneheaded is what Trevor Harris called it.
He called it that himself. He at least described it that way, right?
Again, it's the first game, so I'm going to be a little more polite.
Well, if Trevor Harris calls it boneheaded, we can call it boneheaded, too. That's how I always go by. If they're willing to call it that, well, okay, fine. It's boneheaded. He called it that himself. But I think you're right, Paul. As much as I was on the Green Zone in that week saying, man, just play a series, it's going to take some time. And I've said after week three, after that first bye week, so their fourth game is when I want to see this offense clicking.
Yep. Yeah, but in week two, we have Winnipeg. You can't be just starting out getting familiar in an offense in week two. You see who you're up against. They're a West rival. You got to be ready. We play like we did tonight. Even if our defense is just as outstanding, Winnipeg's going to score at least 25 points. We'll be lucky to crack 10. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Paul, I'm already going to say I'm picking Winnipeg this week to beat the Rough Riders on Friday.
Here in Regina.
I just wanted to add one more thing before I let you guys go. The biggest issue to me is that Dickinson wasn't coaching to win. There was some ridiculous calls he made. You can blame that on Jeffries earlier in the game when they probably should have passed instead of run and vice versa. But to me, Dickinson is coaching scared. He's scared to lose his job. If he didn't have the confidence in Lothar to make a 34-yard field goal with a few seconds left, then why was Lothar on the roster? And look at the last play. We've been talking about the last play. Hopefully Harris isn't seriously hurt. But then Dickinson, his post-game comments, blaming Harris for holding the ball too long, he needs to be fired. I'm sorry, he just needs to be fired already. That was classless. It was a classless thing to say. But a franchise quarterback and a team captain, when it was Dickinson's pathetic decision to call a passing play on third down instead of field goal, or at least a run, or put Mason Fine back there who can run faster, it was just unbelievable.
Paul, thanks for the call. And I thought that I was thinking when Craig Dickinson was, he's like, he can't hold the ball that long. Yeah. I'm thinking, well, you put him in the situation. Like, that's why I was like, you put Shea Patterson in that situation, not Trevor Harris.
I agree, but Trevor Harris, he's a vet. I'm sure he's run that play in the past.
But he's not the most mobile dude out there.
That's why I said kick the freaking field goal, Jay. Just kick the field goal.
Everybody's I think Paul's safe with you, too. Just kick the field goal. But, yeah, well, I'm with you. An injury to Trevor Harris would not be a good start to the season, but he's got it. Sounds like a hip pointer, and he's hoping it loosens up in a hotel at the Westin in downtown Edmonton, I assume, is where they usually stay.
Yep. Sherlock Holmes is right across the street.
Oh, yeah. And Ryan Rashog, a.k.a. Glue Guys, buy it, as we found out on the TSN broadcast. But right now, let's get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
Each and every post-game show, the legendary Belton Johnson gives us his
more legendary with his cooking, man.
Well, that's why we upgraded him to legend status.
Okay. He was just playing Belton last year.
That's all I
wanted. No. He went from
Grey Cup winner.
Yeah, Grey Cup winner to legend.
Legendary.
Thanks to Prairie Meats for supplying the food that Belton's cooking up for us on the pregame show. And if you missed the pregame show, first off, why? Second off, the Who's Going to Eat segment will leave you salivating each and every week. And, of course, Belton posts the recipes, or not the recipes, but the photos online from what he's cooking up for your tailgating tip. But on the postgame show, he gives us his beef, the stuff he does not like, and the beast. The good of tonight's game. Where are we starting?
They got to win. Let's start with the good.
The beasts. Let's go.
All right. Second quarter. Cornelius throws up that Hail Mary and Dalkey picks it off before the half, because those plays could go either way sometimes. So I was kind of worried. But Dalkey, he picked it off. Good job for him. Fourth quarter, that Roland Milligan with a heck of an interception there. When he broke on it with Eugene Lewis on the sideline there. Don't remember if you guys remember that one.
Oh, what a play. Oh. Tracked the ball. And the strength of his hands, because Lewis had the ball in his hands too, and he ripped it right out of them. So, Roland Milligan, what a play.
And, again, the goal line stance. That was amazing. Those three plays there, play of the game there. My biggest beast, the Riders running the ball the last 4 minutes while having that lead, because I don't think that would have happened a lot last year. For some reason, they always kept trying to pass. Then it'd be second and long. They just kept running and running. I don't know, maybe if it was 11 plays there, I bet they ran it, what, 9 times or something like that?
One weird throw in the middle.
Well, here's the drive you're talking about. So this is the drive that is the beast tonight.
4 minutes, Jamie. 4 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
4:11 on the clock. Jamal Morrow run for 14 yards. Morrow for 8. Morrow for 4 and a first down. Morrow for 2. Then it was a completion to Sam Emelis for 13 yards. Then Morrow for 28. Then the favorite play of our panel, Trevor Harris to Sam Emelis for an incompletion. Or no, for a zero-yard gain.
Yeah.
Then Hickson ran off a 10-yard first down run.
Saved
and then
them on that one.
Hickson for 2, Morrow for 2, and then we won't talk about the next one.
But you see what I'm saying, right? That's what you want there, that last 4 minutes. Let the O-line do their work, the running back.
From 4:11 to 7, or for 1 second,
that's what you want, man.
Closing out a ball game. There's your number one beast tonight. What do we got for the beefs?
All right, second quarter, Cornelius to Lewis, that 50-50 jump ball there.
90-10, he called it.
He did say that.
Eugene Lewis considers those 90-10 in favor of him.
Over Jeremy Clark there. Trevor Harris, remember he threw that pick also in the second quarter to cornerback there, Gray. Third quarter, Mario Alford had the big freaking return on the start the second half, and I don't know if he got tripped up or pushed by the kicker.
The kicker just got his heel.
His heel, right? Like, yeah. It didn't even look like it. But that should have been a touchdown for Alford. Should have been.
You're not a big fan of when the kicker gets to the return guy.
I don't think the return guy is either, because he came back to the sideline, looked like he was griping about it.
Alford was mad. The camera was watching him. Yeah. And he was cranky, yeah.
Riders, Brett Lowler in the third, he missed the field goals wide right. But, you know, he was 3 or 4. I'll give him a little grace this one there.
3 or 4. Field goals were like 2 yards away.
And he would have
one 46 yarder.
He missed that one.
Yeah, he missed one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he'll be all right.
There you go, Jimmy. He could have made the 31-yarder at the end quite easily.
The fourth quarter, Travis, he threw that pick to number 45, Morgan, and I thought that was a rookie throw, like, do that.
Yeah.
But my biggest beef that got me, it was in the first quarter. You and Daryl, I thought I was going to have to get a bail out or something. And, you know, like, ding, 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 stop, guys, stop. But it was when Serezna, for the Elks, he got that sack, and he did the little roll.
Yep.
And he incidentally bumped into the referee. I didn't think that should have been a call.
No, it shouldn't be a penalty.
I know.
Even Tim Croker jumped up and looked over and went, he didn't mean to.
He didn't want to call it, but his official fellow official said,
we got to call it. Darren Hackwood.
Excuse me, but the new rule states that if anybody hits us after a play because they incidentally, then we have to call the flag.
And then you got Tim Croker, a good Saskatoon guy, going, come on, we don't have to call that. That penalty.
I just think it should have been a call either. I couldn't believe it.
Did you notice the next time Ceresna got a sack and did a somersault, he made sure referee Croker wasn't there than when he did his somersault. So they've already sent the message, and I think the players will understand. You can't. They're running out of referees. They've a whole bunch of those guys are retired. They got five new referees this year. They want to make sure that they're safe as well as the players are safe. So they're making sure there's no incidental contact. It's only a 10-yard penalty if it's incidental. But
by the way, not only is Daryl Davis a Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter, he is also part of the referee union, who is one of the...
by the book, you better throw the penalty because he accidentally did a somersault into me.
He bowled him over. What if Croker gets hurt there?
Oh, come on. That was...
He went down harder than Harris did in the last play.
He got up and finished the game.
Well, he's tougher. Referees are always tougher.
Because he's a good Saskatoon boy, Tim Croker.
Yes.
That was my beef. And y'all see why it was my beef, because we just
got us going again. Oh,
when he said Jamie and Daryl in the first quarter, I thought he was going to talk about us watching the golf.
That's right.
Nick Taylor, the first Canadian to win the Canadian Open with a 72-foot bomb.
Eagle putt. First Canadian since 1954, since Pat Fletcher won the Canadian Open.
He's my beast today.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, man. Oh, they're celebrating. And then Adam Hadwin, that was a funny joke. The Canadian players, Corey Connors and Adam Hadwin and Mike Weir were hanging around the green belt at the end to watch the Canadian win because they've all wanted to win it. It's important to them, right? Hadwin grabs a bottle of champagne, runs on after the winning putt goes in and starts spraying champagne around. This huge security guard, he looked like the defensive lineman from the Edmonton Elks, bowls over Adam Hadwin and just tackled him right on the green. Hadwin's wife says, typical Canadian, Adam stood up and said he was sorry for getting tackled. Adam Hadwin ran a picture on his Twitter account. I'm okay. Contrary to belief, I'm okay. I'm alive. So it was a big event. That was the best tackle of the day, everybody says.
I'm going to have to go look at that.
Oh, I don't know. Jaden Dahlke had a few good ones.
Yeah, Dahlke had some good ones, too.
There are your beasts and your beefs still to come. You'll hear the full thoughts from Craig Dickinson, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes, Roland Milligan, and more on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone post-game show here on CJME and CKOM. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, and of course you, the fans, on the fan line at 1-877-332-8255. Give us a ring. Your thoughts on the Riders' first game of the season with a victory. But right now we go back to Commonwealth Stadium and hear from head coach Craig Dickinson.
Yeah, we're happy with the win. You know, we'll celebrate wins anytime we get them. It's pro football, Brenton, and it's not easy to win a game, especially against an opponent, you know, that's got a lot at stake, just like we do. So I want to give credit to Edmonton. I thought they played a good ball game. I think they're going to be a tough out this year. But I was just proud of our guys. We missed a lot of opportunities in this game. We gave up, you know, really the one big play on defense. And other than that, we were pretty good. Offensively, there's a lot to learn from. We'll watch the film and try to get better. But overall, I thought it was a solid first game. Lots of situations where we had to think about what we were doing, and we had some adversity we overcame. So it should be a confidence builder.
This one's kind of a two-parter. How is Trevor Harris, and the thought process of that last play to keep him out there instead of going for the field goal or putting in Shea Patterson to maybe run around a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, that probably in hindsight I could have put somebody else in, but Trevor knows the play, and he knows he's got to get it out of his hand before he gets hit. But that, he's fine, and he's got a little hip pointer. He says he'll be fine. That the idea behind that was we wanted to take it all the way down to 2 or 3 seconds and just give Edmonton basically one play. So the only way to guarantee that is to run that play, which we have designed to roll out and then throw it in the stand. So he executed it well. He just hung on to the ball too long. I told him after the game, dude, you know what we can kill, and 28 was too much. It's about 25 to 26 we feel we can kill. So he should have thrown it a little bit sooner, but he's a tough dude. You know, he wanted to kill as much time as possible. And
Yeah, Coach, you just mentioned, you know, leaving some plays, some points out there on the board offensively. Those two times come to mind that you were inside the five and you did go for the sell for the field goals. Was there ever a point where you were like, hey, maybe let's go for this? Or was the game flow kind of dictating?
Yeah, I there was, but I think both times we were behind in the game, I think. I mean, I'm not sure, but I think both times we were behind. So I wanted to take it. We would have gone for it in the south end if we'd have been around the two, but we got a loss and we were from the five. So I just felt like we needed the points. It's going to be a low scoring game. We felt like really after the second quarter, we knew it was going to be a low scoring game. We just had to make sure we had one more than them at the end.
Give us your thoughts on how big that, that goal line stop was. For
well, that was the play of the game. That was the series of the game, that goal line stop. So, yeah, it was outstanding. Defense did a great job. Coach Shivers is a fantastic football coach, and he got those guys playing hard and playing well.
I mean, what can you say about your running backs to finally start eating up that clock? I mean, there was 4:20 remaining, lots of time left, especially in the CFL. But Hicks and Amora both did a good job of.
That's the stuff that you can build off of when you know you've got your backed up and you can take it all the way down the field. And the game really with the ball in your hand, with the exception of the very last play. So super proud of the offense. They found their rhythm there at the perfect time.
I mean, it wasn't the most highlight filled game, but still solid. How would you classify it? Typical week one as, you know, both teams are starting to get their feel.
That's a typical early season game. I mean, where you're going to see some mistakes. The speed of the game is different than the preseason. So you're going to see guys out of position a little bit. That's a typical week one game. I think you look across the league, they were all relatively low scoring with the exception of Winnipeg Hamilton. So I think offenses are going to take a little longer to find their groove. And I think defenses traditionally start a little faster.
Craig, you were going to challenge a pass interference there. Didn't after getting more information. What information did you get that you changed your mind?
Yeah, well, they told me it was a legal contact that was upgraded, written to DPI, which is, it makes it almost impossible to win, because if they see a legal contact, that takes precedent over the what I felt like might have been offensive pass interference. So once they gave me that information, I knew I couldn't win it. So they allowed me to to take it back, which I appreciate, because that's the new information you need. And I thought Tim Croker, that staff, did a good job of communicating that. And then it allowed me to make a better decision because of it.
Is Darrell Walker fine? He came up limping on one of the replays we saw, and he didn't come back into the game. Is he okay?
Yeah, we don't know. You know, we think he's going to be all right, but he's going to get checked out by the trainer. That was a physical game. That's a good team out there that we played, and they got a lot of guys that can hit. So we're going to be sore tomorrow, and we'll have to do a good job of getting ready on a short week to hit the ground running. We got Winnipeg in 5 days.
And I don't see another hand up, so I'll sneak another one in here. Just you talk about their short week, getting ready for Winnipeg. What's the message to the guys and your thoughts on that game? Because Winnipeg's first game, they came out and handled their business as well.
Yeah, Winnipeg's good. I think they're still the team to beat. So our message is going to be, how do we improve? That's going to be the message. Biggest room for improvement, I've been told, is between week one and two. So we got a lot of room to improve, and we're going to work hard to do it.
That is Craig Dickinson's post-game thoughts from Commonwealth Stadium after a 17-13 win.
One thing he's absolutely right about, that was a physical football game.
Oh, man.
For first week, wow, they were smacking. And it was because two dominant defensive lines. Just the offensive lines got batted around. They held their own a little bit, 5 sacks, 2 sacks. Riders only giving up 2 sacks, but Saskatchewan got 5. That's pretty impressive, because that's why the game was won, I think, because of the pressure generated by Saskatchewan's defensive line. But that's where that game was won and lost, was because of the defensive lines. And as Craig said, and he's right, play of the game was that set of series from the third and from first and goal from the one, second and goal, and third and goal from the one. The Riders defense stopped all three of them. Amazing sequence, but there was some smack in there, and there's going to be some sore guys who have to play again in 5 days.
Yes, a short week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Someone texted in, Reynolds wouldn't pay for a charter. No, that isn't at all what's coming, because they, I said earlier in the postgame show, they're not flying into Regina tonight. That has not, they do fly a charter. The reason they're not flying in tonight is because of the paving going on at the runway at the Regina airport.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a lot of the work over, well, all the work overnight. So they close the runway down. I believe it's already closed, or it's about to be closed. So they didn't have enough time where the Edmonton airport is. They might as well take a bus to Regina, the way that Edmonton airport is.
We always call it Red Deer International because it's just as close to Red Deer as it is to Edmonton.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So it is, after everybody changed and showered and drive all the way out to the airport, they didn't, the runway is already shut down to fly in tonight to Regina. So that is why. It has nothing to do that they didn't pay the money for a charter. Mm-hmm. It's they can't fly in tonight to the Regina airport. So they have to stay overnight and then come in on Monday. Tired then get puppies. Some rest.
That's the way they used to do it, by the way. Yeah, when you played overnight. Too, right? There were very few charters back in the old days, Jamie, that you would take you would take commercial airlines quite often, and to be up the next morning, I hated those 5 a.m. flights.
Could you imagine the CFL relying on WestJet or Air Canada now, in this day and age?
Back then, it was screwed. A little bit more reliable. Right? Players told me that this was their secret. They were, especially in Montreal, there was that flight at like 5:30 in Montreal, and a couple of the players told me they would go out, they would go back to the hotel after the game, go out till whenever, and change into their jeans and stuff, and then party in Montreal on Crescent Street or St. Catherine, and then go back to the hotel room at three in the morning or two, whenever everything closed down, put their suits on, fall asleep on one of the chairs in the room until the wake-up call, and then just roll over and jump on that 5:30 flight out of Montreal.
Oh, the good old days.
Did you ever do that, Dalton? I know some players who did. They told me they did that.
Go party, and why not just go to the airport. You're already
go straight
there.
To the airport.
So that sounded familiar, did it, Belton? That sounded familiar.
That sounds very familiar.
That's when teams started chartering out, when they found out that those things were going on, right? Because get your players out of there quicker.
Jamie Dye, Daryl Davis, party animal, Belton Johnson here on the Green Zone postgame show. We'll get to Game Warriors Unsung Hero coming up on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone postgame show after the Riders beat the Edmonton Elks 17-13, 1-0. Tied with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the BC Lions atop the standings of the West Division after the opening weekend of CFL action, of course. Other games in the CFL, the BC Lions beat the Calgary Stampeders 25-15 in game number one. It was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beating the Hamilton Tiger Cats 42-31. And then yesterday, it was a 19-12 win for the Montreal Alouettes over the Ottawa Red Blacks. So there, the Montreal Alouettes are alone in first place in the East Division with Hamilton at 0-1, Ottawa at 0-1, and the Toronto Argonauts had a bye week in week one. So this coming week, we'll see the debut of Chad Kelly as the franchise guy in Toronto. Ole Miss, you're clapping right there. Hottie toddy, gosh almighty. You excited to see what he can do in Toronto?
I'm excited. He's a gunslinger, man. We're going to see it. I can't wait.
Have to wait, though. Weird schedule in that respect. Yeah. I don't mind that, though.
It's Sunday. Or
the opening game should be the Grey Cup championship team unveiling the banner at home with the fans. There you go. Not week two. Are they on the road?
No, they're at home.
They're at home against Hamilton.
Yeah, they're raising
that'd be a good start. There you go. Mm-hmm. Against your rival at home. And next week, of course, we have the Thursday nighter. Calgary at Ottawa, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan on Friday night. Saturday is Edmonton at BC, and then Hamilton at Toronto is next week in the Canadian Football League. But right now, let's get to our game, Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
All righty, Daryl Davis, what do we got? We always start with the winning side, and that tonight is the Rough Riders in a 17-13 win over the Edmonton Elks.
Defense.
Defensive game warrior tonight for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
We've been talking about number zero, haven't we? Isn't he? Drum roll, please.
Roland
Milligan. Five tackles, special teams tackle, one tackle for loss, interception, and a knockdown. He had a game, man, and he was that big stop on the third down play.
That was his tackle for loss.
He had an amazing game. That interception that he took was from Eugene Lewis, right? What a game Roland Milligan had. He's turned into a solid player. That's a tough spot to play too, man. I wouldn't want to be match up against Eugene Lewis ever. It'd be ugly. He was great. So I know there were a couple of guys on the defense we could name, but
we might name a few of them later.
Yeah, a few of them later. But as far as anybody goes, Roland Milligan, number zero, the defensive halfback for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, is their defensive game warrior.
What do you got for the Edmonton Elks?
Well, even though he bowled over an official.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Jake Ceresna, four tackles, two for losses, and two sacks, and an incidental contact of an official penalty, which will tell everybody in the league now that you're not supposed to hit an official, no matter how or why or where or when. But he played a great game. The defensive lines on both teams were outstanding tonight, and he was the best of the bunch on the Edmonton Elks. So number 94 for the defensive tackle for the Edmonton
Elks. That's impressive to have six tackles, two of them behind the line of scrimmage, and then two sacks to go along with it.
Yeah.
Not a bad debut for his first pro game at defensive end. He did play defensive end in college, but he was tackle in Edmonton the last couple of years.
Riders do it with Anthony Lanier, too. Maybe those tackles can move outside, because some of them can dangle. And Ceresna can move, and so can Lanier. Lanier was in high speed a couple of times, put it into passing gear, I thought.
Okay, what do we got for the offensive game warrior
didn't have a great offense, but as Belton was talking about in his Beast segment, that Jamal Morrow got things going in the last 4 minutes of the game, and when they needed to run the football, Jamal Morrow was running the football. The offensive line got better, got stronger. They love to run block. You can tell that all offensive lines do, and they started protecting him, and Morrow started getting huge first downs for that football team late in the game, reeled off the couple of longer than 10 yards and ate up the clock and gave them first down yardage, 14 carries for 80 yards.
Jamal Morrow, the closer tonight for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Well, they almost threw fire on it, gasoline on that fire with that long pass, that silly play at the end, but so it goes.
And, this one's a gimme putt for the Edmonton Elks offensive game warrior.
All right, Eugene Lewis playing his first game since coming over from the Montreal Alouettes to the Edmonton Elks. Nine targets, though, is all, but that's because one of them was intercepted by Milligan. I think Milligan knocked down another one that ended for him. Five catches, 148 yards. I know one of them was a 102-yard touchdown. It was a fun, big play to watch, so he did an amazing job against Saskatchewan's defensive back, and one touchdown, obviously. So Eugene Lewis is the offensive game warrior for the Edmonton Elks.
Now, there are your offensive game warriors, and we'll hear now from our defensive game warrior from Commonwealth Stadium, Roland Milligan's thoughts on tonight's win.
Bend but don't break. You know, once we had to go back on the field, that's what we're saying. Don't let them in the end zone. So, you know, we already knew the closer they got to the goal line, we knew they were going to run QB sneak. At that point, it's just who's going to be the more physical team. And, you know, that's what we try to pride ourselves in now, you know, being able to make those stops, whether it's in the middle of the field, at the goal line, or wherever it is.
With the 1 yard off the ball, it's tough to do that three times in a row. What does that do to the team as a whole when the defense manages to do that?
I mean, it definitely gives us some confidence. You know we can stop that play now. And, you know, whenever a team runs that play, we feel like we have the ability to stop it, you know, no matter what the situation is in the game. So, you know, now it also comes with the expectation that when it does happen, that's what we got to do.
Yeah, obviously, you had the huge goal line stop tackle on third down there, but also the pick that stopped momentum on one of their drives. I think you're regarding Gino on the play, if I'm not mistaken. But can you just take me through that play and what you were seeing?
It was man coverage, and I was just playing my technique, you know, just going back to the stuff that I've been working on since training camp, just trying to make sure that I'm doing it properly when it's live bullets flying in the game, and I was able to do that on next play.
Just your thoughts overall, as a defense, how you guys played, other than, you know, the long touchdown, you pretty much shut them down as an offense. So just your thoughts overall on the game as a defense.
We definitely made some plays. There was some plays left out there. You know, they did a good job of, you know, making plays as well on their side. So it can always be better, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure we can play a perfect game, which is what you strive to do as a team, as a defense.
Hey, Roland, as much as one guy can get credit for a tackle on a law or on a stop like that along the defense or along the goal line, how much as the whole defense does everybody have to be assignment sound for that play to be stopped? You know, he could have slipped in any gap, but, you know, he gets kept getting pushed out, especially on that third one. How important was, you know, each guy's role in that stop?
Very important. He's a big guy. So, you know, if he's able to just lean forward, you know, that can be an easy touchdown for him. So, you know, kudos to all my guys being where they're supposed to be handling their business. So, you know, it made my job easy.
Short week. You've been around the CFL a few seasons now. You know about the Riders' rivalry with Winnipeg. How much are you looking forward to the game on Friday now?
It's always a big game when we're playing them, you know. And, you know, everybody knows who they are. They know what they're bringing to the game, how they're going to play, and we got to be able to match that intensity, you know. And short week, it don't matter. Everybody gets short week, so we just got to prepare and handle business the way we're supposed to.
That is Roland Milligan, our defensive game warrior, 5 tackles, 1 special teams tackle, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 interception. It was a darn good night for number 0 Roland Milligan for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as our defensive game warrior. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson coming up next. We'll have a wrap and get to our unsung heroes before we say goodnight. So a little bit more time if you want to give us one last call at 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone postgame show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone postgame show before we wrap up the night. And tell you who didn't win bold predictions, let's get to our unsung heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
All right, Daryl Davis. Unsung heroes tonight, the winning team, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's pretty easy, isn't it? It could have been player of the game. It could have been defensive player of the game. Jaden Dahlke, we've been raving about him. Number 30. What is he?
38.
Right? So the new safety, starting safety for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, does everything. That first hit, Belton, you loved it over the middle, right? That set the tone for the physical nature of that game tonight, didn't it?
He almost took that kid's head off.
A couple times.
Oh, I
don't
loved
go
it.
Across the middle of the Saskatchewan Roughriders defense. Jaden Dahlke made that point loud and clear tonight, made every stop. He should have got an interception at the end of the half. You're right. You think, well, that's just a Hail Mary. But if he doesn't grab it, that could be a touchdown. It was thrown into the end zone, and there were a couple of defensive backs behind the receiver. So you never know what can happen. And he came in and made sure he also gets 2 special team tackles, too, plus that interception and 3 defensive tackles. So he's got some stats, and he made his presence known. Jamie, if you're talking about him being a future or somebody under the radar who the rest of the league is going to know about, they'll find out in a hurry, especially if you're a receiver.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Jaden Dahlke showed why the team didn't bring back Mike Edom in the offseason. And what did Jackson Ford get? I think he was down there on a special teams tackle or two tonight. 1 special teams tackle. For Jackson Ford, saw him down there as the backup now and the second round pick of the Rough Riders. But unsung hero for the Edmonton Elks.
I know that you like finding these unsung guys who make lots of special teams tackles, and Scott Hunter did for the Edmonton Elks. He had 3 special teams tackles. He wasn't the punter who pushed Mary Alford out of bounds late in the game, but Hunter got 3 special teams tackles. There's a couple of guys, but no real great stars. Konar, the linebacker I was thinking about too, could be an unsung hero, but let's go with Scott Hunter for his 3 special teams tackles. That's how you make a name for yourself in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, if you want to stay on a roster, get down there on special teams and keep bringing down those kick returners, that works out pretty fine for you. So there are the unsung heroes. Jaden Dahlke for the Rough Riders, Scott Hunter for the Edmonton Elks. Each and every pregame show, we go through the bold predictions brought to you by PlayNow.com this season. And Darrell Walker was our first question. Takes on his former team. Catches, yards, and touchdowns. Well, he got a touchdown, so Darrell and I got a point, Belton. But he didn't do much after that first couple of drives. Three catches, 28 yards. So Belton was the lowest on the yards. Darrell was the lowest on the catches at 5 and 78. So wow. Darrell got 2 points. I got one. Belton got one on that one.
Hopefully he's not hurt, too. It looked like he got kicked or something late in the game.
Sacks allowed by the Rough Riders. The answer was two. So we all get a point because I said one and you two said three. So,
all right.
Or we can none of us get a point. It doesn't matter.
Okay, whatever.
Let's just pad the stats. Give us a point on that one.
I got a point, so we're good.
Kyran Moore, gentlemen.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just give everybody zeros across the board.
No, because I got a point. Actually, we all got a point on this one. Receiving yards for Kyran Moore in his first game against the Rough Riders. One catch for 1 yard. I had 15, so I get the point. How many return yards? He's the primary return man. Kickoff returns 17, punt returns 49 for a total of 66. And that goes to Darrell because he said 82. We roll over 100, Bill.
Yeah, no.
What was his longest play against his former team? 17 yards on one kick return. And Belton, you said 21, so you're the lowest on that one, so you get a point there. Oh, but, man. Belton, you picked the Edmonton Elks to win the football game.
Yeah,
so
I did. I stand by it. I know what happened, but
could have gone either way for a while.
I'm just saying, on CFL Pick'em, I started the year 4-0 this week.
Jimmy.
Only to go 0-4 next week.
Probably.
Although, I don't know. There's some pretty easy games to pick, I think, next week. But I don't know who to give the point to on the final score.
I was 4 points apart. I said 26-22, didn't I? And this was a 4-point victory.
Yeah, but your total points were 48. Mine were 45.
Yeah, but you said you were like a 12-point.
Nine. It was 9 points. So Darrell and I said Saskatchewan. You said 26-22. I said 27-18.
Belton.
What where we at score wise?
I'm still winning.
Like what? By what points or?
Well, it depends who gets the point. If Darrell gets the point, you have 9, he has 10, and I have 17. But if I get the point, it's 16-9-11.
No, then you'd have 18.
Yeah, 18, right, Jamie?
No, if he gets the point, I only have 16. Sorry. If I get the point, I have 17.
I need you to have 16, Jamie.
Okay. So Darrell gets the point. Fine.
I thought 26-22 is pretty accurate depiction of that.
A 4-point win for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Mm-hmm. Although it's not as high scoring as. If it was Gormley, he's picking me the way he does it.
John's seldom right on most things. Maybe I'll call him Monday and we'll talk about that.
He might call you on Monday to talk about the Rough Riders. So the bold prediction standings. 16 for me, 9 for Belton, 11 for Darrell Davis on bold.
We're catching them, though. We're closing.
Week one, right?
Yeah. What did Craig Dickinson say? The biggest improvement comes between week one and week two. We're about to gain.
All righty. That's it for us here on Rider Game Day. Of course, next week. Well, no. This week, it is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for the home opener against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Kim Mitchell, the halftime show at Mosaic Stadium. The 1-0 Riders, the 1-0 Bombers, 7 o'clock kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 5, but I'll be on the air beginning at 2 o'clock, as always, on a Friday, as I will tomorrow to talk about the Canadian Open, the Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals, and, of course, this football game, 17-13. Thanks to everybody who calls the fans. This is about you. That's why we call ourselves the home of the fans. All right, he's probably going to be Rookie of the Year. Chance behind the board tonight in his first solo mission on the Green Zone Game Day, and he nailed it. Today.
Way to go, boss.
Britton Gray, of course, our Green Zone Rider reporter, getting all the goods for you. And my favorite guys, Darrell Davis. and Belton Johnson. Everybody have a fantastic rest of your Sunday. Back at it tomorrow in the Green Zone at 2 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.